How you doing, everybody? I hope you can see me. Oh, wait a minute. Let's pump that. I know you can see me. You feel me? What's happening, people? It's your boy, Tez the Angel, with some more. I'm trying to get this, man. I want it to be visible while I talk, man. I don't know how to attain that goal. All right, how about this? How you doing, everybody? It is your guy, Taz the Angel, back with more car talk. Good conversation you can ride to. And man, I'm here with more car talk. And now we're going to sit this, you know what I'm saying, right here. Bink! It's a little distant, but it's still there, and that's what's important. You feel me? Matter of fact, saying we can send that back now. We can send it, get that little mess out of here. You don't need to see that. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing there. It's nothing there. Don't pay that. No, never mind. Anyway, hey guys, it is me. I'm back, and as you can see, I have gotten a light that helps a whole lot, in my opinion. You know, y'all tell me what y'all think about it, but it is much better than having to rely only on those. And I might still rock out with these too, but I mean, it's just unnecessary no more, man. You know what I'm saying? When you get the technology, you know, you just do better, man. Y'all know what? Hold up. All right, y'all, I'm back. I had to do a little adjusting with that for a second. And matter of fact, I'll let y'all see what I was doing. I was trying to see which light is better. Which one do y'all think? Because it's three different types of lighting. So it's that one, that one, and that one. I'm partial to this one because it's more of like a white light. This one's cool too. Oh no, I might rock with this one. So, and I may change what I'm talking, but I want y'all to be a part of this process, by the way. I don't want to just make these decisions by myself, because at the end of the day, I'm not the one who's always watching me. Y'all the ones who are watching. So, I want you guys to be a part of these processes when I'm making changes or adjustments. Yeah, I like that. I want you guys to be involved. So, in the comment section on YouTube, please, I want y'all to tell me which light did you prefer. And as a matter of fact, I'm gonna go back through them. 1, 2, or 3. I'm going to use 2 for now. So what I'm using right now is 2. You guys tell me which one you prefer out of 1, 2, and 3. But this was donated, basically. The funds were sent for me to specifically acquire this light. And it comes with a stand, a tripod, a whole setup. It has a lot of things, you know. A keyless remote that I keep up there, so I won't lose it. But it was donated to the podcast specifically. You know, like I said, the funds were donated specifically for me to get this. So, man, I appreciate you guys. You know, I don't have anywhere near a huge podcast yet, but, you know, people are helping. You know, and before I get, I was about to dive in. But before I do that, let's get the light stuff out. And I want to thank everybody for the likes, listens, comments, shares, views, all of that. I appreciate you guys so much. The last video that I posted was the most watched one so far, with over 100 views, which I think is great. The other ones normally average like 20, 30. I usually get more listens, like on the Spotify and Apple Music and Google Play. I usually get more listens because there are different venues to listen than I do views. But I really appreciate you guys for getting those views up there. So I just want to thank you guys so much. Oddly enough, I go back to dive in again. Let me get this light stuff. So I want to thank you guys for the likes, comments, shares, support, period, freaking painting logos, donating funds for me to acquire better lighting, everything, man. I couldn't ask for better fans. I'm sorry, supporters. Fans sound weird to me. Who am I? I mean, I'm that dude, but you know. Anyway, so thank you guys. I appreciate you so much. And like I said, you know, I say it all the time. I appreciate the donations. I mean, this wasn't a cheap thing. It wasn't a little $5-$10 item. You know, it was, I ain't gonna say pricey, but it was a moderate price, especially for somebody to donate to me. You know, so I appreciate you guys so much for continuing to support, continuing to help grow this. Thank you. Now, today's episode will be entitled simply, "We Don't Have the Luxury." And what I mean by that is, we don't have the luxury to waste time. And especially with complacency, with being lackadaisical, with bitterness, with bickering, we don't have the luxury. Because time is truly the only luxury. And we don't have time to waste on these things. We don't. Usually I would speak only about myself and say, well, you know why I don't. Mm-mm. We don't. We, us. We don't have the luxury. So, before I get into that, what I was about to say, when I was talking about the light, so you guys know that in the last episode, I was approached by a police officer. I wasn't pulled over because I'm already parked. But I was approached by a police officer who was called on me. And the ordeal was good. Wasn't any hostility, there was no attitude or, you know, none of that, no hostility whatsoever. So it was a good interaction. Oh, also, this TDA hat, I've had this for some years now, and it was made by my high school coach. Shout out to Coach Virgil. I wanted to say that while I was saying the different things that were given to me. Also, this necklace was made by and given to me by my brothers, the Hunter Boys. Murder and Tom, they know, you know, they know the vibes. The Hunter Boys. So I'm an example of there's no such thing as being self-made. If you make it, even if you don't, gotta have a squad. Gotta have people. But I'll get more on that later. But so the guy that the police officer that spoke to me that day, I ended up having to go to the station seeking assistance. Maybe last week. So a little bit over a week after the podcast was recorded. Because the podcast was recorded on the 16th of August, but several things got in the way of me posting it, so it was posted much later than it was recorded. But last week, I had to go to the station seeking assistance, and it was late, and the person who came out to assist me was none other than the exact same man that was called to talk to me then. And I didn't put it together. In my mind, when I was talking to him and giving him the information that I needed to give him, I was like, he looks familiar, but I couldn't place him. But when I continued talking, he was like, oh, I know you. You're the guy that I had to talk to a little while ago with the podcast, right? And I was like, I was trying to figure out how did I know you. Now it makes sense. And, you know, we had a little conversation about that. But just think, what if I was a butthole to him? What if as soon as he pulled up, I was like, I ain't doing nothing wrong. I ain't breaking no laws. Man, what you here for? What if I took that approach with him? What if I used the things that's going on around us between black people and police and just tossed it on him and gave him all the attitude from what I'm feeling around with this other stuff? What if I gave that to him? He would remember me again. How would that have gone when I'm asking him for help? Now, he could be a completely upstanding guy who never holds grudges, doesn't allow things to impact, you know, one situation to impact another. But he could also be like, oh, this guy. The one who, when I just came to check on a call that I was giving, he gave me this extra rah-rah. I'm going to drag my feet a little bit. Oh, we can't help you. I'm sorry. It got to be, you know, this, that, and that. Could have done any of those things. He could have. But because I spoke with him as I would have wanted to be spoken to if I were him, I didn't have that issue. We don't have time. Right? We don't have the luxury to waste time. With these celebrity deaths, period, but more specifically to and for me, the celebrity deaths have kind of given me a different perspective on things. And again, not just them, because, you know, due to COVID, I've lost some people that I grew up with, you know, some people that I knew from school. But last year, it started last year, this kind of thought process in the back of my head start kind of moving around when Nipsey Hussle got killed. And then at the beginning of this year, with the death of Kobe, his daughter, and the other passengers on that plane. I'm sorry, helicopter. I apologize for that. On the helicopter. Started getting a little louder. And with the passing of Chadwick Boseman, it started screaming now. It's not in the back of my head anymore. It's at the front. We don't have the luxury of wasting time. When Nipsey went to his store, like the place that he owns, he didn't think he was going to get killed in front of his property, around the people, his community, the people that he grew up with. I don't believe it entered his mind. because one thing we don't expect to do is get crossed by our own people. And I don't just mean that it's like just us black people. I mean my neighbors. Just think about how I felt when someone in my neighborhood called the police on me last week and I had a cordial interaction with the police. I was upset after that. But to know that those very people in your neighborhood could murder you, would murder you, you don't expect that. You don't think that. And it's hard to prepare for that. They say prepare for the unexpected, but if I truly don't expect it, how can I prepare for it? Kobe. Kobe and his daughter and the people on the helicopter. That wasn't their first time taking a helicopter to a game. Especially Kobe. I'll speak on what I know. I don't know, you know, the frequency of the other families. I just know it wasn't the first time for them. But it was said that Kobe would do that all the time. So much so that he did more, as far as traveling to games, they say that he did more traveling in the helicopters than he did in the car because of traffic and stuff, right? No way did he ever think that me just getting in his helicopter for a few minutes, my daughter and, you know, these other people just going to a game, never did he think those would be his last moments. Never did he think it. But they were. Chadwick. The difference with him. I'm sorry. The difference with him is he did know. Now, I don't say it like it makes it better. I'm only saying it's a difference. Because the moments before their passing, all three of them expected to pass. Once those bullets entered Nipsey's body, he was feeling his soul leave it. Those bullets literally pushed his soul out. They took up the space that his soul was inhabiting. As they entered his body, his soul left out. As the helicopter went out of control and was plummeting to the ground, they all knew that they wouldn't make it. And with Chadwick, he was able to kind of prepare for his and move with the knowledge that it would happen. He was diagnosed with colon cancer stage 3 in 2016, which means that years before his diagnosis, he had dealt with it. So he didn't just struggle with it for 4 years. He knew what the struggle was for 4 years. But that's, you don't start struggling at stage 3. So before that, he was struggling. He was dealing with. He was fighting against. In 2016, he just found out what his opponent was. And in that time frame, he still pushed and gave a performance of greatness after a performance of greatness after a performance of greatness. Now, being that his diagnosis was in 2016, we don't know when he actually first got cancer. But in the short few years that we were aware of Chadwick Boseman, he gave us Jackie Robinson, James Brown, Thurgood Marshall, and T'Challa. What my reaction was when I first found out was, first it was, wow, him? Cancer? Stage 3 since 2016? I didn't see any of that in Black Panther. I didn't see any of that in Infinity War or Endgame. I didn't see any of that in these films. Like, it looked amazing. Then I thought, well, I did see that Breakfast Club interview where he looked small, but man, I just thought it was for a role. I didn't know that while he was talking to them, he was still pushing. I didn't know that while he was talking to them, he was still fighting. He was still struggling. I thought he was just in film mode. Because y'all know, you know, actors, they have to change their bodies for different roles. Michael B. Jordan was never that big before Creed. If you go back and look at the movie Chronicle that he was in years before Creed, he was never the large guy. He was the kind of tall, lanky guy, skinny guy. Diesel for Creed. And then Eric Killmonger, and then Creed 2. Even Chadwick was more of a slender guy. He got some muscle mass, but it wasn't as drastic as Michael B. Jordan's, but he still had to prepare for the role physically. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm trying to say. He looked different. He looked like he was, you know, something was up. But again, us not thinking the worstness, and me specifically not thinking, you know, of an illness. I'm just, oh, he's an actor. He's in film mode. He's preparing for a role. But the whole time he was talking, he was fighting. Because he knew that his days were numbered. More so than all of us. Because we all walk around with that knowledge. We all walk around knowing that there's no such thing as physical immortality. Now, spiritual, it's a different thing. Legacy, it's a different thing. But physical, there's no such thing as immortality physically. I'm going to try number one now. 3, 1. I kind of like that. I'm going to stick with this one. But he knew more so than, well, he moved with the knowledge, excuse me, more than we do of, I don't know how long I got. I don't know how long I'm going to be here. So because of that, he moved with purpose and tremendous purpose. Because after I got over the wow factor, it's like, man. He was our next Denzel. He was our next great who can make any role he is. We don't have him anymore. So because of that, I have been reflecting way more than usual. Way more than usual. And in my self-reflection, I've told several people in my life. I'm not here to argue anymore. And I already don't like arguing, but I have more of a, I have a lesser tolerance for it now. If I see that a conversation is about to go completely off and it's just about to be a whole lot of rah-rah, I'll try to stop that one time. Once I see that's not happening, I'm hanging up. Because I don't have the luxury of wasting time arguing, bickering. I'm here for conversation. I'll talk anything out with anybody. But I'm not here to argue with anybody. Not anymore. And I even have a friendly debate with people, you know, because I'm a debater. That's who I am. Been doing it for a long time. But getting riled up and mad and yelling, fussing and cussing and all that kind of stuff, I'm okay on that. I'm just fine without it. Because we don't know how long we got. We don't know how much time we got here, man. There's a famous saying, I'm here for a good time, I ain't here for a long time. Honestly. Nip was what, in his early 30s? Maybe late 30s? I don't even think he was in his 40s. Because I'm pretty sure he's not 10 years older than me, because I'm 30. Nip wasn't 10 years older than me, if I'm not mistaken. He's a younger guy. Kobe was, what, 42, if I'm not mistaken? Early 40s? None of those are long times. It's not a long time. 40 years to experience everything on this planet. That's not a lot of time. And they were exceptionally blessed to see the amount of the world that they did, to experience the experiences that they did, to reach the people that they did. Still cut short for them. So we don't have the luxury. We don't have the luxury of holding grudges, not talking to family for years at a time, because of some small issue that you don't even remember how it began. You just remember that you're supposed to be mad, because your pride won't allow you to make the first move and rectify the situation. Enough. Enough. Those days are over. Whoever it is, you end it. Whatever that situation is or was, you be the one to end it. Because why not? So you can walk around with your butt on your shoulders, just having I ain't gonna do it. For what? What are you winning out of that? What are you gaining from that? And more importantly, what are you losing from that? And lastly, what are you willing to lose to that? Hmm? Are you willing to be one of those people who say, who have to stand over their casket and say, man, all these years, this is this and that was going on. I never got a chance to fix it. I hope they know I love them. I hope they know. Now, don't hold nothing. You tell them. Don't hold nothing. Don't leave anything up to interpretation. Make it plain. You be the one to tell them. Don't hope they assume it. We don't have the luxury. Because I guarantee you, their life is more important than the grudge. And if you don't believe that, then you have some self-reflecting to do. If you believe that a grudge is more important than a life, you have some reflecting to do. Now, I'm not saying that you should just take anybody back who did you wrong, who purposely used and abused you. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, don't hold on to the grudge. Know what type of person they are. Accept them for the type of person they are. And move forward with your life knowing and in that same way. Move forward with that knowledge. Some people are so bad that when you know how bad they are, when you move forward with that knowledge, that means you have to cut them out of your life. But you don't have to hold the grudge. Because then when you don't hold the grudge, you're able to accept whatever comes along with that. But when you hold the grudge, not so much. Because a grudge is something that's unresolved, unfinished, incomplete. But when you close that, when you finish that, then you can take solace in whatever comes after. But don't be the reason why you feel guilty. Don't be the reason why you have regrets. Because one thing I'm gonna do, and a lot of people don't understand it. They don't understand it right now. I can just get done telling you about the things that you did to make me upset, and right before I hang the phone up, I'll say I love you. And it throws people off. Or even when when we're in person. So, I'll say, hey man, look, I understand all that. It's time for me to disengage because it's about to get real heated if I don't. I'll talk to you later. I love you. Because how do you want to end things? People who talk to me on the phone know I never say bye. I don't say bye. And I'm not telling you that you're wrong if you do. But I don't say it. I love you. Talk to you later. Good night. Have a good day. Because it is my personal belief that bye is final. Because when you get ready to cut someone out of your life for good, bye. Bye, Felicia. You can go. You don't tell somebody that you never plan to talk to again. I'll talk to you later. Have a good day. Well, you might say have a good day, sarcastically usually, but you don't say I'll talk to you later on someone you never plan on talking to again. So because I plan on talking to you again, I'll talk to you later. But again, this is just the way I think. trying to thrust this on anyone else or put that on anyone else. This is only my mind. Because I would rather end the conversation with you knowing that I plan to talk to you again. Because if we never talk again, if one of us leaves this planet before the other, you'll know where I'm at. You'll know that I didn't cut you off. You'll know that I'm not done with you. You'll know that I still love you. You'll know that I still want you in my life. Don't be the person to sit and say, I wish I would have. Why didn't I? I should have said it. See, sometimes people think it's weird to express yourself, especially as a man. People don't expect men to express their feelings. So when I do it, it throws people off sometimes. When I don't just have an emotion, but I express it to you and I explain it to you. Look, you hurt my feelings when you said blah, blah, blah. You upset me when you said blah, 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 or when you did blah, blah, blah. They don't expect that. And it's not something that I've done for a long time, because as men, we aren't told to express feelings. We aren't told to explain feelings. We're told to not have them. Now, that's not what I got from home. I'm only talking about society. Boys don't cry. Men don't cry. Suck that up. Man up. Keep going. But manning up is why a lot of dudes are having heart attacks at a young age. Sucking it up is why for years and years, for the longest that I've ever known, the life expectancy for a man is much lower than a woman's. Sucking up is why the divorce rate is so high. One of the reasons. Because instead of me telling you, this is what you did to hurt my feelings, I'm going to talk to the homies. Now I'm going to talk to this chick and see what she think about it. Is it right when she does or when she says, then it's always going to be some thirsty woman? I would never do that to you. She wrong for that. Capitalizing. So, what are you willing to lose for your grudge? What are you willing to lose for your pride? What are you willing to give up? These are questions for you to ask yourself, because I've had to ask myself. I've had to sit with those questions. And I know for me, the people that I actually care about, I'll never want to end on a bad note. So you have to express these things. It bothered me when you said it. It bothered me when you did. And my kids, when we on the phone and we hang up, it's always I love you at the end. And I've heard, my youngest son, I've heard, people try to tease him in the background because he says I love you before he hangs up. And they know he's talking to me because he said, hey dad, can you pick me up from practice? So they know that he's talking to another dude and they're trying to pick at him for saying I love you. Just like my dad instilled in me, I'm instilling in them. One, forget what people think. That's number one. They're not doing nothing for me, so nothing they say can do anything to me. That's one. And two, those that you care about, you let them know. You don't hope they get it. You don't hope they interpret it. You don't hope they just know. Tell them. Because my dad always told me that when he was a kid, he never heard I love you from his dad. And his dad showed him. His dad showed him. But he didn't tell him. And he said one thing he wanted to always make sure with us was that he told us. He didn't want us to have to just know that he loves us. Or have to believe. I'm sorry. He didn't want us to have to believe that he loves us. He wanted us to know through not only his actions, but through his words. So those lessons that were imputed into me, I'm imputing it in them. And it's going to continue. When they have theirs. Because we don't have the luxury. We don't have the luxury of wondering, do you know I love you? Do you know I care about you? Do you know you're important to me? Nah, I love you. You're important to me. You matter to me. You are appreciated by me. See, it's time now to say these things, man. Even in a time when it's uncommon for us to do those things, especially in a time when it's uncommon for us to do those things, that's when it's more important. Yeah, people commit suicide right now because they don't think anybody loves them. You have people self-harming right now because they feel like, don't nobody love me, man. If I wasn't here no more, wouldn't nobody care? Would nobody feel my absence? They already don't talk to me. They already don't hang around me. They already don't. It's not going to bother them if I'm not here no more. Let me go and do them a favor. Let me end my pain and end their obligation to think that they got to talk to me, got to force themselves to hear me. Let me do all of us a favor. Just not accurate. Someone loves you. Someone cares about you. Someone will miss you. You will be tremendously missed. And I'm here to say, do feel alone, if you do feel that no one cares, hit me up. Either I will speak to you, or I will direct you to people who I know, who I've seen put in the work. I've seen them put in the work just to help. No, not for financial gain, not for clout, for man, yeah, you remember when I did this for none of that. We helping out the strength of helping. We loving out the strength of loving. We giving game out the strength of gain. Just because you need it. So if you believe that, that no one will miss you, no one cares about you, no one loves you, message me. We'll work through that. Because like I said, either I'ma jump in personally, or if I may not be able to at the time, or I know someone who may have more experience in that area than I do, then I'ma direct you to those proper channels. And there's a hotline. I know people don't, may not really think about those things, but there's a hotline of people dedicated. People dedicated to helping those who feel like they're unloved, those who feel alone, those who feel like no one cares. They are sitting by the phones right now, waiting for somebody to call, waiting to help someone, wanting to help someone. And for those who are able to afford it, get therapy. One of the biggest misconceptions, especially in the Black community, is that for you to get therapy, you have to be crazy. You get therapy to prevent yourself from going crazy. And I don't really like the word crazy. One, because I've had a really disdain for the word for a long time, especially majoring in psychology. But even more so when I heard Dave Chappelle speak on it. Years ago, he was doing an interview, and the interviewer asked him about what happened when people were calling him crazy when he left and went to South Africa. He said, "I don't like the word crazy. It's dismissive. You just don't understand, and you're not trying to understand. When you say, oh, he's crazy, she's crazy, you have now stopped trying to learn what's going on. And because you didn't look for the problem, you're definitely not trying to solve it. You're just accepting that there's a problem there and calling it out." He said it's dismissive. And it is. It is. It's dismissive to say, "Oh man, don't listen to them, they're crazy. Man, you need to go on with that crazy stuff. Ain't nobody trying to hear you, man." Dismissive. But if you wouldn't want to be dismissed, then don't do the dismissing, right? If you want to be heard, then do some hearing. If you want to be listened to, then do some listening. And if you want to be communicated with, do some communicating, some effective communication. Interrupting people as they try to speak, that's not effective. Talking over people, yelling at them, getting an attitude whenever they say things that you don't want to hear particularly, because they're just trying to give you constructive criticism, but because your pride is getting in the way, you lash out now and respond as if they're attacking when they're only trying to improve you. You got some improving to do. You got some work to do. We all have some work to do. Maybe that's just to feel you need to put some work in. We all have work to do. Believe me. If you can't take constructive criticism, you got some work to do. If you ask someone, "Hey, be real with me, man. Hey, be 100 with me. Blah, 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 blah." And if they give you exactly what you're asking for and you get an attitude with them, you got some work to do. And you need to realize where you are mentally and emotionally, because you can't ask somebody for something and get mad when they give it to you. Terrence Howard said a long time ago on the movie Four Brothers, "You go knocking on the devil's door long enough, somebody gonna answer you. You can't knock on the door and get mad when somebody open it and walk through or welcome you in. You knocked on the door. You can't get mad when somebody answers." So if you're not ready for whatever may walk through the door, don't knock on it. It's simple. It may not be easy, but it's simple. We don't have the luxury, man. We have to continue helping each other grow through love. Helping each other grow through passion. Helping each other grow through genuine care. We have to. We have to be there for each other. The person that you call when you're going through troubles and hard times, call them and make sure they're good. Because a hard thing for a strong person, or for a person who's expected to be strong all the time, one of the hardest things for those types of people is finding somebody they can be weak with. Be the friend you want. The friend that you want. I want somebody who there for me, who will make me a priority, who will always be honest with me, who will always help me out, who will always be that. Be that. If that's the type of friend you want in your life, be that for the people who are in yours. And if those people don't deserve that type of friend, choose different people to be in your life. Because a lot of times we get mad at people for being themselves. You can't change nobody. And I know I use double negatives, but we ain't here for English class. You can't change nobody, man. Changing nobody other double negatives. But you can't. Podcast I did episodes and episodes ago. Help people because you can't save them. That was the title. And if you want to reference that, when I talk about how I used to love trying to save people, I used to love trying to be Superman, and now I'm the UPS guy. I'm not here to save you. I'm just here to deliver a message. I'm here to deliver. Once I give you that package, you can be able to do whatever you want to do with it. You can throw it back outside. You can stomp it out on the ground. Set it on fire. Or you can open it. The choice is yours. I'm just here to deliver. A lot of times we try to pull people in our lives. We try to love me. Because guess what you do in those moments? When you're trying to pull people, tug of war them in your life, guess what you're doing? The ones who trying to already be in your life, you push them. Hold up. I'm trying to pull. Hold up. I know you here for me, but hold up. I know you love me, but hold up. We struggling with somebody who trying to run out of our lives, and we pushed away the ones who want to be there. We don't even give them the chance to be there. Because we take them for granted. I know you here. I'm trying to get the one who ain't though. Let me convert them. I know you here. You good. Just stay where you at. Let me bring them in though. We try to convert people instead of accepting them. And that's why so many people are walking around thinking that nobody wants them, that nobody wants to be in their lives, that nobody loves them. It's not that nobody loves them. It's not that nobody loves you. It's that you're not sometimes. It's that sometimes you're not allowing the people who already want to be there to be there. No different than, I'm sure you guys have seen several posts of women saying, you know, nobody wants me, nobody wants to be with me, I'm so alone. And then they'll post a screenshot of their inbox where several dudes are, you know, good morning, beautiful. Some of them there with, you know, malicious intentions. Some of them there with savory intentions. Some of them there just wanting to be a nice guy and say, hey, man, you know, how you doing today? I think you're pretty. Would you like to go out on a date? But they can't get to that point because they get ignored. They get grouped in, lumped in with all the rest of the others. And they get ignored. So the cycle continues of, I ain't got nobody. good morning, beautiful. I ain't got nobody. Hey, over here. I ain't got nobody. Don't nobody want me. I'm alone. I'm lonely. I'm gonna let the one down a little hot. Everything make noise when it's 2001. What can I say? You know, what you want me to do? But we don't have the luxury, guys. One thing that Kendrick Lamar said on his To Pimp a Butterfly album, he said this in one of the skits. I ain't got time to waste time. I ain't got time to waste time. And like I said, these things have been ringing back here for a while. But each time something happened, you relocated. I ain't got time to waste time. We don't have the luxury. Every single moment you have, capitalize on it. Every single moment you have, appreciate it. You don't know how many more moments you got. I don't know how many more I have. I don't. Embrace those who embrace you. Blood makes you relatives. Love makes you family. Choice makes you family. Sacrifice makes you family. Prioritizing makes you family. Blood makes you relatives. When they say they can't choose, you can't choose your family, they're wrong. You can't choose who you're related to. You can't choose your relatives. You can doggone sure choose your family, because your family already chose you. You just gotta accept the decision. So many times I've seen people just disregard those who are, just trying to love them, just so you know, hey, I'm here. Whenever you need something, whenever you need to talk, you need to vent. You just need a hug. You just need somebody to say, keep going. Need somebody to push you. All of those things we have. A lot of times I've seen people have those and push them by the wayside so they continue trying to yank the person who's in a dead sprint out of their life, trying to yank them back to them. So we have to be better at selecting the people who are in our lives. Our criteria has to be more than how attractive you are. How much money do you have? What can you give me? What can I take? How can I manipulate this relationship for my own personal gain? We have to look at better criteria than that. Cause that ain't it. That ain't it. We don't have the luxury. Ain't got time to waste time. I believe I can conclude on this. This is something that I've been thinking for a while, been feeling for a while, and not just feeling, but feeling. It's been on my heart. And even if the way to break the grudge from somebody is by clipping out a part of my message and sending it to them, or sending them the whole thing, do that. Use my voice to help if that's what you need to do. Because if my voice, if my words can help a situation get resolved, do that. Do that. Because what are you willing to lose for your pride, man? What are you willing to give up for a grudge? Today's episode was heavier than usual, but I think it was necessary. I believe it's necessary. I believe it's necessary. So, I want to thank you guys. I thank you so much. I thank you so much for listening, for liking, commenting, sharing, watching, donating, contributing, putting in effort. I appreciate it all, man. Because you don't have to. I know I say this every week because I mean it every episode. You don't have to listen to me. You don't have to share my videos. You don't have to watch them. You don't have to give me constructive criticism. But you do. And I thank you for it. Truly, I thank you for it. Because it's only making me better for you. For us. So you guys have a great night, day, afternoon, week, month, whatever. Make all of it great. Embrace those that embrace you and end all grudges. We ain't got time to waste time. Because we don't have the luxury. I love you guys. Talk to you later.